All right, guys, this is the next module. We're going to be talking about making offers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's the three most important rules of real estate, Larry?
You know, everybody says, what are the three most important things in real estate? Location, location, location. Forget about it. The three most important things in real estate are, number one, make offers. Number two, make offers. Guess what number three is?
Make offers.
Make offers. That's right. That's the three most important things in real estate. You know, I often ask audiences, I travel around the country and around the world, you know, I'll say, you know, how many of you did not make an offer last month? Let me see your hands. And the people who raise their hands, I say, so let me ask you a question. Approximately what chance did you have of buying a piece of real estate? Approximately, right? They have zero chance of buying any real estate.
Wild guess. Right?
They got no chance. Nope.
This is one thing I like to say. Your speed to income is directly proportional to the number of offers that you make. Simple formula. If you take a look at a graph, okay, and maybe I'm looking at this backwards, but like you look at a graph of like money that you make in real estate versus number of offers that you make, right?
Right, right.
The more offers you make, guess what? That line in that graph goes up. That's how you make your speed to income is directly proportional to the number of offers that you make. It's the most important thing here. Like, just make offers. You want to do more deals? You want to make more money? Make more offers.
There you go. That's awesome. Now, the first part of this, we're going to talk about making offers on listed property, okay? On listed property. Because now, markets go up and markets go down, right? When the market's up and the economy's going really good and the market's hot, we're typically in a seller's market, right? Because we're near the top, right? When we're in a buyer's market is after it goes back down. When you're down here, right, in a buyer's market, there's going to be a ton of properties on the MLS. HUD, VA, MLS, Fannie Mae properties, Freddie Mac property, all that down here. When the market's hot, we're in a seller's market because there's more people chasing deals than there are actual deals, right? So keep all that in mind because your marketing and your strategies are going to change based on the economy. That's just that's very important to understand, right? That's very important to understand. There will be times when the markets are down that you won't have to do any direct mail. You won't have to do any Facebook ads, bandit signs, none of that stuff, right? No cold calling because there'll be plenty of properties on the market on the MLS, right? MLS and HUD and all that. Now, that doesn't mean when the market's hot that you can't get any deals off of the MLS. It doesn't mean that. It's just going to be, there's going to be fewer deals. But the really good news is because small towns are the areas where they don't turn as fast. There's not as many buyers, right? So even in a hot market, in small town USA, there's still a decent amount of inventory and you can buy properties off the MLS. Even like right now in today's market, right? You can buy properties right off the MLS in small town USA because there's not a lot of people bidding them up, right? They're not bidding them up. Does that make sense?
You want a ninja tip? A ninja tip. This one tip I'm going to give you here could get your investment in this system back 20 times. Okay. It's real simple. I created a course on this once. We called it MLS Hacks. You know what it was, Larry?
What?
I was interviewing a friend of mine, one of my students who was doing this. You can do this in as many markets as you can hire VAs. It's so simple. Like if you want to be in five different markets, hire five different VAs. Every day that VA goes onto the MLS through Zillow or Redfin or Realtor.com, looks for properties that need updating. Like you can tell from the pictures. If there are no pictures inside, it probably needs updating, right? But
exactly.
If the pictures show a dated carpet, popcorn ceilings, dark wood paneling, you know, purple pink toilets and green bathtubs, that's going to need updating, right?
Right.
So this is what we would do. And we've done deals with this. My friend was doing this, was sending about 100 or 200 emails a day. Go find those properties. get the realtor's email. And there's different ways you can get the realtor's email, but we wouldn't, so there's two different ways to do it. You could send an email to the realtor with a soft pass offer. It's like, hey, you know, we're investors. We want to make an offer on this price on this property that you have listed here. I know it's been listed for a while. Before we send you an official contract, we just wanted to see, is the seller negotiable on their price? Would they consider maybe something in this price range? And the VA would make a price range of maybe 80, 85% of the list price. And then you could attach a proof of funds, maybe a list of references, or something like that. Or you could have the VA send a hard cash offer. You know, they could go and look at the list price and make a hard cash offer at 75, 80% of list price or whatever. But just getting the emails, the VAs to send 50 to 100 emails a day in these markets, you start getting realtors to say, respond back. Yeah, maybe they'd consider something. Tell me a little bit more. You could do lots of, the guy who introduced me to this, to Larry, this concept to me of having the VAs not send the contracts, but just send an email to the realtors.
Right.
Like, would you be willing to take a contract on this?
Right.
He's doing four or five deals a month in three, four different cities just from these leads that the VAs are giving him.
That's great. Awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. I love that. I love that, Joe. And that's basically what we have done when we're working with the realtors. That's what my acquisition guys do. Their acquisitions, so they analyze the deals. But I'm going to tell you guys exactly how to do this step by step. You can either do the rifle or the shotgun approach, right? What Joe just described to you is what's called the shotgun approach, okay? It's a percentage of list, and I'm going to give you the numbers right here, okay? Here's what we do. With the shotgun approach, it's a percentage of the list price, right? You're not calculating ARV. You're not calculating the repairs, right? You're not figuring a percentage of that and backing out ARV times 0.7 minus repairs minus a wholesale fee if you're wholesaling. You're not doing that. You're doing the shotgun approach. And here's what we do, because we all know you can get a much, well, maybe we don't, but you can get a much bigger discount on a cheap house than you can on a very expensive house, right? Oh, yeah. Let me show you what I'm talking about. It's not uncommon, even through realtors, to buy a $30,000 house for 10 grand, right? But trying to buy a $300,000 listing for 100 grand is almost impossible, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So here's what we do. If the house is listed for $50,000 or less, we're going to offer 25%. So if the house is listed for 40 grand, our offer is $10,000, okay? If the house is listed for 50 plus to 100,000, right? 50 to 100, we're going to offer 40%, okay? 40%. Now, if the house is listed above 100,000, which I don't even like offering on houses above 100, but if it's listed over 100, we're going to offer 50%. Now, you're not going to offer exactly 50%, right? 40% is a little easier to hide, but if a house is listed for 200,000, you're not going to offer 100,000, right? You're going to offer 102,375, right? Because it looks like you put a calculator to it, right? It looks like you figured it up. You did the math. This is where I need to be, right? But on the lower price houses, notice we're only offering 25%, right? Now, you may think, oh my gosh, you know, they're just going to laugh at me or whatever. What you want to do is send them a cover letter or have your VA send them a cover letter, yeah. Right? I want to make a cash offer. It's not meant to offend you. It is a real cash offer. We buy properties. We pay cash. We can close very fast. And I know it's a low offer. I know it's not what you're wanting. However, we've been very surprised at some of the deals that we've put together that started with an offer like this, okay? So tell your seller it's not meant to offend them, but present it to your seller and send us a counter, right? Mm-hmm. All we're looking to do is get a counter. That's it. They're not going to say yes. If they ever say yes to your first offer, you've offered way too much, right? Yeah. You're not looking to get your first offer accepted. All you're looking for is to get the negotiating started. That's it. It's called get them in the glue. Mm-hmm. Get them in the glue. That's what you want. Get the negotiating started, right? And that's the shotgun approach. Now, if you wanted to, if you have a VA that knows how to analyze deals, you know, figure the ARV, guesstimate the repairs, whether it be per square foot or actual repairs, then you can have them figure ARV times 0.7 minus repairs minus a wholesale fee if you're wholesaling, and then they can present that offer with that number, right? But really for a, what did you call it, Joe, a fast pass or something offer?
A soft pass offer, just throwing a softball at them. Would they take something in this price range? Are they negotiable? Or I waste your time with a fancy formal written contract. Just wanted to see, you know, let you know I'm an investor. We're buying properties in this area. Would they accept something in this price range? But just a simple email to a realtor asking that question is going to get your foot in the door.
That's right. Now, if you send a real offer to them, you send it through their email, right? If you send a real offer to them, then you always want to follow up with either a call or a voicemail or a text, right? And say, hey, I just want to let you know, I just sent an offer over to you. Check it out and get it back with me when you get a chance. Right.
Let me add to something to this. And I learned this from you, Larry, like, cause you don't want to be blasting realtors with lowball offers that are just going to offend them. So one of the things that I did is I had an assistant who was a realtor, and I would have her prep the realtor, you know, call the realtor up in advance, right, or send an email saying, hey, I'm a realtor with so-and-so, just wanted to let you know, give you a heads up. I represent an investor. He's a cash investor and he wants to make an offer on your property. And he's going to make a real lowball offer. I just want to apologize in advance. Like, if this is going to offend your seller, then just don't worry about it. Ignore it. Delete it, right? You're giving them permission to throw your offer away. And what that does is it softens the blow. It kind of opens up, it breaks down the walls a little bit, right? If it's coming from another realtor, she's kind of apologizing in advance for this lowball. I don't know if that's your philosophy, but I found that actually works. I've gotten deals when my realtor approached the realtor representing an investor instead of having the investor come hard hitting directly to that realtor right away. Does that make sense?
Joe, that's the very next thing that we're going to talk about right here.
Oh, I'm getting ahead.
I love it. See, what Joe is talking to you about is a whole model that you can create. You can go into an area, find a new agent that has no business, right? They've got no business. They're hungry. They're motivated. And then what you do is you set up where the realtor can make automated offers for you. You give them permission to make offers, either a percentage, or you show them how to analyze the deals and let the realtor make the first offer for you, right? It's like having your own army of licensed bird dogs out there finding deals for you. All they're doing is they submit the offer and they send you the counter offers, because that's all they're looking for. That's all we're looking for is a counter offer, right? So you need to get a new realtor that's freshly licensed or newly licensed, and or one that's not doing a whole lot of business, and get them to submit 5, 10, 15 offers a day, right, for you. And give them multiple territories. In small town USA, realtors are licensed by the state, right? Mm-hmm. So they could be licensed in many different counties and many different areas, right? And they go straight to the listing agent of the property, right? That's who they're going to submit their offer. And they could start out with a cover letter very similar to what Joe just said about, hey, please don't be mad at me. You know, I've got this cash buyer. They're really good buyers. They know what they're doing. They buy a lot of properties. So maybe we can put a deal together, right? They've got a cash offer of X on this property. Let me know what your seller thinks. And I know they probably won't take this, but send me back a counter. Because you never, ever, ever, if this is your top number, you never start there. You start here and work your way up to it, right? Because if this is your number and you start here, they're going to counter here. You're going to counter here. And you're going to meet somewhere in the middle, right?
That's good.
I love it, man. I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome.
And you can automate this, right? You can get a VA to do it for you. You can get a realtor to do it for you. Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely. I love it.
Well, so, let me just add something to this too. Like, you may be wondering, how do you get the realtor's email addresses? There's this little known website called Google. And here's, it's as simple as this. Look up John Smith, Keller Williams Realty email. Like, do a Google search for that. And within the one or first two pages, you'll find somewhere out there their email address is on there, okay?
You got to have the exact name of the company, though, right? It might be Century 21 Palmetto Realty, right? Or sure. Keller Williams Lake Wylie Realty, right? So it's got to be the exact name, but you put the realtor's name and the keyword email, right? And the keyword email, that's also a great way to find their mobile number. You do their name and the keyword cell, C-E-L-L, and the keyword mobile. If their mobile number is anywhere on the internet, it'll pop up.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you one other thing. If you go to RealQuest Express or express.realquest.com, depending on the area, it just really depends if this information is available or not. You can actually look up properties on there, and I'm doing it right now, and if this works, I'll share my screen and show it to you. But some MLSs do it where when you search for a property on express.realquest.com, it'll show you the listing information on that property. And this is the free. Oh, I did it as an example here. Oh, good. Check this out. I'm going to share my screen with you. This is so cool.
Sure.
Share my screen here. Larry, do you see it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
All right. I went to your neck of the woods, and I looked up a property here in near Charlotte, and I zoomed out as far as I could on realtor.com, and I found a property in Rock Hill that was max 120, and I've had some other filters, and I sorted it by lowest price. So here's a house right here I looked at, and doesn't look like it needs much work. Looks pretty decent inside, livable, except ceiling this.
Except for that.
Ceilings that are falling down. But, okay, and some mold. Anyway, I did a search. I looked at this address. I went to express.realquest.com, and I'm not even logged in. This is from the free thing.
Right.
They give me an estimated value of $42,000. And guess what? You can see here, listing provided by Reinhart Realty Corporation. Because if you're here in realtor.com, you're not going to get any of the realtor's information. Like, they're going to tell you maybe who it's listed with, and there's a phone number. That's probably the office phone number, but you're not going to get email and stuff. Well, if you go to this, look, you can see that the agent right here is Darren Woods. You can see their phone number. You can see their email. You can see their website right here. And you can also get
and that's all free, guys.
Yep.
So that's free.
Yeah. I didn't log into anything. It's just here. So this is express.realquest.com. And you can now, I don't know if this is, a lot of times this is a cell phone. And this is their email address that goes to them personal, not to the business company email. And so this is what your VAs can do for you.
Exactly.
Good.
Exactly. Now look, you've already left me there, but
I can go back. Said,
seller is very flexible. Please present an offer, right?
Ah, where is that?
Right there where your mouse is. The last two sentences.
Oh, I still don't see it.
Oh, right there where your mouse is.
You see how good Larry is at seeing that? Like hit like a hawk. He's and just wants to sell the property. Submit an offer. Bam.
Yeah. Listen, call them up and offer them 14877.
14877.
Right? Yeah, it's an odd number.
Let's do. You know what? I'm gonna do right now.
If it was a bank owned property, they would come back with 34, right? Their first counter. When you're dealing with realtors, their first counter is always, I shouldn't say always, their first counter is typically within $1,000 of list price. They just want to see if you're going to keep negotiating or if you're serious or if you're just trying to steal properties, right?
Yep.
That's why I like to tell them, hey, look, I know you're not going to take this, right? But you also, you know, you're not going to take my offer, but we also know you're not going to sell it for $34,900, right? Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I love it. So, Joe, let's talk about dealing with individual sellers, okay? Making offers with individual sellers, all right?
Yes.
Now, I use, and you guys have access to, my one-page standard real estate offer to purchase, right? my one-page standard. It says standard real estate offer to purchase at the top, right? Who's going to argue with that, okay? I don't say I've got a contract that I created that I have my attorney look at, and it's all geared toward me, benefits me, and it doesn't do anything for you. And I'm only going to give you a $100 deposit, and that's it. I don't say any of that. I say I have a simple, standard real estate offer to purchase. It basically says I'm buying your house as is, where is. I'm paying you cash unless I negotiate it on financing. I'm paying you cash, and I can close and get you your money pretty quick, right?
Yep.
So my contract does not even have a closing date on it. It says it's good for 60 days with an automatic 30-day renewal if I need it. I have 90 days, guys, 90 days, right? So as I mentioned before, but I want to reiterate, you need to get that contract signed within 2 hours of talking to them, okay? Within 2 hours of talking to them. That's very important because they're going to change their mind. They're going to talk to a friend, a relative, a parent, a child, an aunt, an uncle, niece, nephew, whatever it is. A realtor friend that's going to talk them out of it, right? So the very, very best way to get it signed in 2 hours, if you can, is to go see them. Meet them at the house, if you can, and go see them, okay? Now, if you're in Oregon and you're buying in Alabama, you can't do that. That's not feasible unless you have boots on the ground. You get your boots on the ground person to go meet them, right?
Yep.
So you get them. The second best way, if you can't go see them live, right, or have your boots on the ground person go, is you want to have a mobile notary go. We use a mobile notary service called National Signing Service, NSSNotary.com, NSSNotary.com, okay? Now, NSS Notary tells me they can have a notary at just about any house anywhere in the country within 2 hours. Right? Within 2 hours. So now I'll be the first one to tell you, have they failed a few times? Yes, they have. Right? But we put specific notes. We set a specific appointment and we tell the notary, do not call the person you're going to see. Don't message them. The appointment is set. It's confirmed. Just show up. Right? Just show up. Occasionally, we'll have a notary that takes it upon themselves to call in advance. If the phone doesn't ring, they don't go, right? So guess what? NSS Notary will prevent that notary from getting any more business. They won't hire them anymore. They won't accept them as a local notary to go out and sign documents, right? Because we tell NSS Notary, you know, we put it right there in writing. Do not call. Go to the appointment, right? So the third way that you can do it is DocuSign, or write signature or something very similar, right? But they have to have email to be able to do that. They have to have email. Now, they can sign it on their phone. They can sign it on their phone. They can sign it on a tablet, an iPad, or they can sign it on a computer, a laptop or a desktop, either one, right? So that's the third way. The next way, the fourth way that you want to have them to sign would be just to get them to sign it digitally using an app like Sign Now or Scannable. Scannable is really cool because you can email somebody a PDF, right? And you know how if you get in your email, if you get a document, you can click on the document and it'll open it up or it'll say, what do you want to do? Do you want to forward it, print it, email it, text it? When you have the Scannable app, Scannable would pop up. So all you do is click on Scannable, you open up the doc, you scroll down to where you want to sign it, and you sign it with your finger, and then what do you want to do with it? I want to email it. Email it right back to the person, right? It's literally that simple. It really is. Scannable.
Yeah, Scannable, is that the one that Evernote owns? It's done with Evernote?
I don't know that it's done with Evernote. They may own it. I'm not sure.
Okay. But anyway, here's the thing. Once you learn one of these systems, DocuSign, SignNow, Scannable, whatnot, once you know how to use it, while you got the seller on the phone, go ahead and send them the contract right then and there and walk them through it while you got them on the phone. Okay, I just sent you an email. Did you get it?
Right.
Okay, good. Now open the email, click on that link. Good. What do you see? All right, good. Now if you click on next, go ahead and click sign now, put in your email, you know, type in your name. Good. Okay, great. Now click that button. Boom. And you could walk them through it right then and there while you got them on the phone. Let me just make this easy for you and save a bunch of time, all right? You could even get a Zoom account, all right? You can go to Zoom, create an account. What I did is I created a URL. I'm not going to give it to you because you guys might come to it. But like, if you go to zoombillybob.com, you can go get a domain called zoombilly.com and have that redirect to your personal Zoom meeting room. Right? Then what you could do, you could tell the seller right there on the phone, okay, Mr. Seller, go to zoombilly.com right now. Okay, cool. You're there. Great. And then you can communicate with them on Zoom. Now, maybe small town, you may not want to walk them through how to use Zoom or whatnot, but the point is this, like find a way that you're comfortable with and understand where you can walk the seller through this contract virtually right then and there on the phone or with a computer.
Right, exactly. And you know, Joe,
I wanted to ask you real quick again. Can you explain the notary again real quick? Did you say you tell the notary to call the seller in advance? Is that right?
I tell them not to call them. Tell them not to call them. Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah, absolutely. I tell them not to call them. I already preset the appointment, right? Like, let's say it's 3:00 in the afternoon. I tell my seller, I can have a notary there probably somewhere around 6 p.m., right? Are you going to be home then? Yes. So I tell the mobile notary because you fill out an order form when you log in, and it says meet at 6:00. Do not call. Do not try to reach them. Just show up, right? And do not leave without a signature. If the seller, for any reason, doesn't want to sign or has any questions, call this specific number. And it's a number that we have set up through CallRail, and I have it programmed in my phone as mobile notary. So I know, and I have caller ID set up through CallRail that shows the number they called, not the number they're calling from.
Yeah.
So my phone, I pick up my phone and it says mobile notary, right? So I know I've got a mobile notary in somebody's house and they're having a problem getting the seller to sign a document, right? It might be as simple as, well, this has my middle initial, but the property's in my full name. My full middle name is in there, right? It doesn't matter, right? Whatever the question or concern is, you want to be able to answer that call and take care of that problem. So they leave there with the signature, okay?
Larry, the contract doesn't have to be notarized, but do you still have them notarize it or just sign it?
No. The only reason in the world we use a mobile notary is because NSS Notary has a network of people that are experienced in getting documents signed, and they have a network of them all across the United States. We don't need the notary part of it. In fact, they're not even notarizing anything. It's just one signature on a one-page document. They're not even notarizing anything. What they're getting paid for is driving to somebody's house, getting them to sign something, and then sending it back to us, right?
That's so important what you just said. Very good.
Exactly.
And I just want to clarify, too. I just want to clarify, too, the contract that we're talking about, it's in the Dropbox folder. I'm looking at it right now. Dropbox folder. So go, you know, in the welcome area, you'll see where the folders are. Click on that and you can get this contract. It's brilliant. Sure. Super simple.
Sure. Now, we talked about number one is go see them. That's the first thing you want to do if you can. Go see them or send your boots on the ground. If you can't do that, send a mobile notary, right? If you can't do that, use DocuSign or something similar, right? If you can't do that, email it to them to sign digitally through an app like SignNow, right? If you can't do that, I jumped the gun a minute ago. I started talking about scannable. What scannable is let's say it's a little different than what I described. What I described a minute ago where they sign with their finger, that's SignNow, the app called SignNow. If they can't do that and they want to print it, because some people like to print, so if they want to print it, you email them a PDF, they print it out, they physically sign it with a pen, and then they use the scannable app to lay it down on the table, take a picture of it, and email it to you, right? It's a scanner, right? Yeah. It's not a signing app. It's a scanner where all they can do, all they have to do is take a picture of it. Now, could they take a picture of it with their phone like they're taking a photo? Sure they can. But the scannable app sends it in PDF form, okay?
It makes it look nicer.
It does. It does. Now, the next thing is you could overnight it to them with a return overnight envelope, all right? I want it done that day if I can, but, you know, no, I'm not going to be here. I can't sign it. I don't have time. You know, just send it to me in the mail, right? Then we're going to send it overnight, like FedEx, UPS, or something like that, right?
Yep.
If you don't do that, the last resort is snail mail, right? Even with these little $500 lots, I'm going to try to do everything other than snail mail, because if it's not important to me, it's not important to them, and they're going to take their time sending it back, right? So those are the seven different ways that you can get a contract signed really, really quick, okay? That you can get it signed really, really quick, right? Now, let's say you've got the contract back, you've got it signed, now the clock starts ticking, right? The 60 or 90 day clock. The very next thing you need is access to the house. You've got to get access to the house to take pictures, whether it's you or your boots on the ground or whoever. We've got to get inside the house. You want to take pictures of every room, any mechanical items, any repair areas, all four sides of the house, a street view both ways, and any outbuildings, storage buildings, garages, carports, or anything like that, right? So you also want to find out, it's very important, how soon will the house be vacant? Now, if it's got a tenant in it and the tenant is performing, I let the tenant stay. I'm going to sell it as a rental property, right? I'm going to sell it with the tenant in it. That's why you want to get as many pictures as you can. We usually get somewhere between 50 and 100 pictures, guys, okay? We get a ton of pictures. I don't want my buyer to say, oh, well, this looks pretty good, but I really didn't see the water heater, right? I didn't see the closet in the third bedroom. You know, I need to go over there and look at the property. Now you got to deal with the seller. They're getting itchy, you know, and they got to set it up with the tenant again. The tenant's like, well, you already came through here a couple weeks ago. Yeah, but I got to bring some other people, right? So if you're doing that, you want to show the property to like five or so potential buyers at one time, right? You want to bring them all through there and show them at one time if the property's occupied. But we want to find out if the property is not going to be occupied, right, after we buy it, when can the seller or the tenant be moved out, right? That's very important, unless we're going to buy it and let the tenant stay, okay? We want them out of there. We want a date on the contract that they're going to be out of the property, okay? We also put a lockbox on the door. Now, you're not going to put a lockbox on the door if the property's occupied or if they have stuff in there that they still want, right? Because you don't want the seller coming back to you and say, well, somebody busted the lockbox and they got the key and they took my guns out of the house, or they broke in on my tenant or something like that, right? So we only put a lockbox on the house once the seller has everything out of the house that they don't want anymore, right? Including themselves or a tenant that's vacating the property, right? Then we put a lockbox on it. And we also give the seller the combination to the lockbox.
Yeah, that's good. I was just going to add, it might be worth your time. If this is a house that you know you can only show once or twice, like, and that's it, right? It might be worth your time to spend a little extra money and get somebody, in addition to taking the pictures, to do a video walkthrough of everything.
Right, right. Absolutely. You do a video walkthrough from the front of the house. You walk in while you're describing, you know, here's the kitchen, vaulted ceiling, this. Well, the houses I buy don't have vaulted ceilings, but
it may have like a wide open vaulted ceiling, but that's
good. Oh, you know what? I do buy mobile homes. We just got a house under contract last week. For $22,000, and it's on 4 acres of land, right? It's a double wide mobile home built in the '90s. So, nice. So that was a pretty good deal right there.
But, get a video if you can, right? Walking through everything, explaining it, doesn't have to be professional quality. Whoever's doing your pictures, ask them to do a video as well. Pay them a little extra money. But don't be afraid to, like, when you tell, when you're advertising this property for a buyer, Larry, and they say, well, I want to see the house. You can't say, listen, I can't show it to you, but I've got 100 pictures here and a full video. If this, these pictures and videos are not good enough for you, then this is probably not going to be the house for you.
Right, right.
And most serious buyer, if they can see 100 pictures and the video walkthrough, they'll know exactly what they're getting into.
That's so true. That's so true. And, you know, you also want to make sure before you give anybody the lockbox code or even send them the link to the pictures or anything, you want to make sure they're a qualified buyer. Right? You want to be dealing with prospects, not suspects. Okay? You want to be dealing with prospects. You got to make them show you that they've got the money, whether it be a copy of their bank statement or, you know, find out a little bit about them if they own other properties or whatever. You know, I mean, you don't want to make them mad, but you want to let them know, hey, you know, you want to say something along the lines of, you know, we have properties at deep, deep discounts that are not even available to the public, right? So these properties go very, very fast to all cash buyers. They need work. Therefore, you can't get a traditional loan. Let me ask you a question. Are you looking for a property to live in or to rent out or to fix and flip, right? And we find that out, and then we say, well, you know, are you a cash buyer or are you getting financing? Right. And then we'll go through the motions with them. And then if we want to send them out to look at the property with the lockbox, this is very important. You get them to text you a picture of their driver's license. Right. You could say, call me when you get in front of the house. Call me or text me when you get in front of the house and I'll get you in. Right. Yeah. So it might be 5 o'clock. It might be 7 o'clock at night. They're texting you. Great. Oh, one thing I forgot to tell you, text me a copy of your driver's license and I'll get you the code. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important. You want to make sure you're not just giving out the code to every suspect out there that responds to your Facebook marketing, right? You want to get a copy of their driver's license, and you even want to let them know, you know, hey, we've got some neighbors around that they're watching out for the property for us. So they'll probably jot down your tag number and you might see them looking out the window. So just make sure you lock up the house really good and let us know when the key's back in the lockbox and you're leaving the property, right?
Yep.
That's good.
Very good, Larry. I love it.
That's good. It's simple. So guys, that's, yeah. And those are the different ways that you're going to make offers and get the deal under contract and get it signed, sealed, and delivered so you can move on to the next step, which we're going to cover in the next module, which is all about due diligence. And it's not just like what you see regular due diligence that you've been dealing with in the big MSAs. Small towns are unique in some of the due diligence that you need to do. So we're going to cover that in the next module.
Very nice. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you on the next one.